It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the spot!
Sports entertainement like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la rondelle, le dégagement, et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens, le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. LaBee.TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground. Your premier gaming destination. It's going to be sick.
Marinaro on this Monday, April 29. We hope everyone is doing well. And in all transparency, this podcast was recorded earlier tonight. And I say that because last week, one or two people were bothered by it, saying, well, hold on a sec. If it's not live, I'm not going to watch. Folks, we bring you this podcast 12 months a year. The majority of the time, it is absolutely live, especially after Montreal Canadiens games. We have no other choice. But with the playoffs going on, and then, of course, the summer right after that, you're not going to find too many collaborators who are going to want to be on at 10 p.m. tonight, especially since, for example, Dallas and Vegas started about 30 minutes ago, now that you're watching at 10 o'clock, at 9:30 p.m. So anyone who's anyone is hockey is watching that to report on it, to write about it, or to talk about it, so they can't possibly join me on the podcast. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the way it's going to go down. But on off nights, we will go live so we can have that engagement. I can be chatting. It's actually sometimes even better throughout the summer. I kind of like this format. I'll tell you why. I don't miss a show. I watch them all the time while they're on, retweet them, watch them, see who's on the chat, engage. And I actually chat and engage more when I recorded earlier in the day than when I'm going live, because when I've gone live, I'm so much more into it. Do you understand that I can't really always get to the chat? But anyway, the Sick Podcast is brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group, who are, of course, a leading full-service logistics provider serving all of North America. They are driven to be different. When it comes to transport companies that you want to work for in Canada, they win awards every year. They are the top of the top. So you know what? They're a great place to work. Mike Cinquino, Sean Girard, David Grassi, they run an amazing operation. Absolutely love those guys. And when it comes to sports, they give back a lot to amateur sports and different sports in particular. So they're huge supporters of sport and huge supporters of the Sick Podcast. And it means everything to me. And I thank them. Also brought to you in part by La Bite à TB, brewed in Quebec, a winner of a dozen international awards. La Bite à TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bite à TB, embrace your true nature. Also brought to you in part by Playground. Experience Playground like never before. Enjoy world-class poker, 900-plus gaming machines, weekly events, karaoke Mondays, comedy Wednesdays, live bands on Fridays and Saturdays, much more. Discover their latest additions. Etc. Steakhouse, Drunken Dragon's Exquisite Sushi, the Esperanto Cigar Lounge, and Babel Lounge's Medza and Cocktails Playground, your ultimate destination for entertainment just over the Mercier Bridge. Only minutes from downtown Montreal. Visit Playground for details. And also brought to you in part by, which I'm going to get to a little bit later on, last but not least, is going to be Accent Insurance Solutions. Without further ado, I bring him in from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca, covering the series between the Colorado Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets. He took a flight from Colorado to Winnipeg earlier today. Eric Engels, how are you?
I'm tired, man, but I'm here for you because honestly, as you were just mentioning off the top, it's tough to get this together at 10 o'clock when I'm in Winnipeg coming from Colorado at 3:30 in the morning at the airport and arriving in Winnipeg and we're on different time zones and I'm covering a playoff series, but I always have time for Tony Marino.
Thank you. And I appreciate it. I always have time for you as well. And I also know that your prediction of Winnipeg in five is not going to happen, my friend.
Not looking good.
And look, I got to tell you something. I hate NHL predictions because it seems to me I never really took track of them. But I think I get more wrong than I get right, okay? But I'm going to tell you this. I had Colorado winning this series, and I was not – and it's not over. I get that because, you know, teams have been down 3-1, and they come back to win the series before. But I'm going to tell you this. I wasn't going to bet on Winnipeg, who have a history of losing in the playoffs, until they were actually going to win a playoff series. And I know that this is a much different team with a lot of acquisitions that have been made in the last year. I don't know if you counted. They probably added 6 or 7 players, but I just was not going to take them until they were going to do it in the playoffs. And so they're not looking good right now, are they?
Listen, my predictions have gone better in other years. I could be as bad as 4-for-8 in the first round, and I'm not even blaming myself, honestly. It's okay. I'm as immune as anybody else to getting this
wrong. Don't feel bad. I took Toronto over Boston. I'm the idiot.
So did I in 7 games, and maybe they still will. But the main thing here is that, like, going back to the trade deadline, I was sitting with 6 very good reporters who pay a lot of attention to the NHL in Montreal, and I said, you have to pick one team to win the Stanley Cup right now. Who is it? And everybody had a different answer. Like, and I was talking to scouts that are covering the series, like, who work for some of the teams that are in these playoffs, who believe that the margins between the 16 teams that are in the playoffs, and now it's 15 because Washington's out, and a couple of the teams on the bottom end, they still think that there's like 10 of them that you could legitimately argue could win the Stanley Cup. Mike Matheson gave us that exact number when he was assessing it on himself. He didn't want to pick a winner. Like, the parity that's been created is not just that you have a bunch of kind of average teams everywhere. Like, you look at the top end of the NHL and how good some of these teams are. Like, Winnipeg was fantastic this year. And Colorado, who they finished 3 points ahead of, have made them look like a bad team. And they have a lot to show in order to prove that they're anything but that. And I don't love their chances, but, like, I was talking to Scott Oak from Hockey Night in Canada back to Winnipeg, and, you know, we were both like, it doesn't look good. And I also said, but the Islanders just beat Carolina in a game. So, you know, who knows?
The latest on Sean Monahan that you could tell us before we get to our topic at hand today, which is going to be, pretty much every day we're going to go with a different report card on a different Montreal Canadiens player. Eric, I asked you to choose one, and you chose Caden Gooley, so we'll get to that in a second. Before we do, Sean Monahan, your thoughts on his play thus far in the playoffs?
I thought game 4 was his toughest game, and he took a butt end to the face at one point of it, which didn't help. I think if you look at the other games where he's been less productive, he's come up with some of the best scoring chances Winnipeg has had. As a whole, I look at the forward group and expect more, but really, there's only so much they can do if they don't get the puck in their hands. And right now, the defense is not doing enough to get them the puck. Like, it is a real challenge that Colorado deserves credit for in the way they forecheck and the speed they bring, that Winnipeg, especially if you're looking at a line that includes Monahan and Toffoli, is going to have a hard time keeping up with that speed. But, man, like, if the Jets don't find a cleaner way to exit their zone, and I think they need more puck support from Monahan, from forwards to get 5 men exiting the zone instead of blowing the zone and trying to get ahead of that first layer of the forecheck of Colorado, I'm not expecting different results. So we'll see.
I love Sean Monahan. He's a good man, and he's an honest professional. He's got 1 point in 4 playoff games. And like you said, and you're right, it's not all on him.
He's had great scoring chances. I'm telling you, Tony, since the beginning of the series, really good scoring chances. They're not going in for him.
No, I get it. But, you know, I felt strongly about one thing, that the Canadians, no doubt about it, had to move him. It just didn't make sense to keep him. It made sense to get the first-round pick that was available. I know there were some people and some in the media who said, no, give him a 5-year extension or a 6-year extension, whatever it is. And I said, probably nobody will, given his injury history. And they said, just give it to him. And I said, if you give it to him, there's a good chance that in 4 years from now, you look at that contract, or maybe even three, and all of a sudden you think he got old fast, and it might be a contract that you might regret, the way you talk about some of the contracts right now with the Canadians, and one or two that may have been regrettable. Anyway, we wish him the best. You know what? I hope he comes back in this series, and I hope he wins it. I want as many Canadian teams going forward to make it further and further into the playoffs, to give themselves the best chance so that we can see the Stanley Cup come back to Canada. I really want that to happen. I especially want it to happen for McDavid. But anyway, that's another story for another day.
I don't believe you, though, in this case, because you were begging for the Canadians to get the highest possible draft pick with their first round pick, and the pick they got from Monahan.
I hear you.
Wants to be a little better if he doesn't advance through the playoffs. So I don't believe you, Tony.
That's true too. So out of all the Canadian teams, put it this way, the one I want to go the first, I want the one that would prefer to get eliminated before the other ones is Winnipeg. Okay, you got me on that one. All right, okay. So I gave you a quick call today, and we exchanged text messages, and I said, Eric, my plan for the show over the next month or so is going to be a Montreal Canadiens report card of the day, unless, of course, there's a Habs topic that comes up and something happens that everyone's talking about, and then, you know, I'll end up doing that. But so we're going to go with the report card, and I said, just choose one player, any player, and you said, Gouley or Newhook? And I said, okay, choose one, and you said, no, Tony, you choose one. I said, no, please, you choose one. And you said, okay, I'll choose Gouley. Why did you choose Gouley?
I don't know. I'm starting to regret it because, honestly, if we're supposed to grade his season, I'm thinking that it's very difficult to fit all the parameters in and come up with a proper, like, answer. For example, he had four more points over 70 games than he had in 44 a year ago. So you might consider that to be a minus in his box. But you might consider it a massive plus looking at the way he played against the best players in the world night in, night out. And specifically in those games where he was really up against them, like whether it was McDavid or McKinnon or whoever you want to choose, go down the line. You look at those games and look the way Gouley played, and it's not to say that he didn't get scored on like everybody else in the league did when they were playing against those players. Like, he didn't look remotely overwhelmed. Like, if you wanted to make the case that Caden Gouley is going to develop into a legitimate top pairing, whether you want to call him a number one or a number two, it doesn't really matter. He'll be a top pair defenseman that shuts down more consistently than not consistently the best players in the world. He provided a lot of evidence that he is absolutely trending towards becoming that player. So, like, how do you balance out the grade with those couple of things? I would say, on the whole, we're going to put it right up front right now. His season, to me, looks like a B+.
All right, okay. I didn't quite expect you to give me the grade until we went through all the parameters, but that's okay.
Break it down from why it ends up being
fantastic. That's well put, Eric. Now let's bring up what the report card looks like. I'm sure you've seen them all over social media. That's it. Montreal Canadiens report card. Name: Caden Gouley. Position: defenseman. Games played: 70. Goals: 6. Assists: 16. Points: 22. Plus minus: -8. Give a grade from A to F, and a B+ would be a good score. Before we break down certain aspects of his game, would you say, after saying what you said to me in terms of, well, maybe less points, but maybe more of this, that he had a Caulfield type of season for a defenseman? Does that make sense to you, where you probably would have liked a few more goals, you probably would have liked a few more assists, you probably would have liked a few more points, but his overall game is better?
Yeah, I would say, if you want to compare it with Caulfield, it was a real development season for him. Like, there are things that came into his game this season that are going to make him the player he needs to be moving forward. And it's the same thing with Cole. Did he become more complete? Yes. Does he have more offense in him than he actually produced? Absolutely. Can't forget that he played a very large portion of the season on the right side, where I think he looked really good, but I think we all know that even if he ends up being as good on the right as he has proven he can be on the left, it's not his natural position. So there's something to take into account there. He said he felt comfortable there. I just look at the whole body of work for a guy who's 22 years old and has 130 games under his belt and has garnered the type of experience that Caden Gooley has. And there's no way for me to look at his season in any type of negative light. Like, it's not possible.
That's a big time point, by the way, the fact that he's a left-handed defenseman who played the right side of defense the entire season, pretty much. Why do you think they moved him to right D? Because they think he's too good not to be on a first pairing, because they have a plethora of defensemen coming in on the left side, and maybe some of them that'll come in on the right side won't be all that ready maybe for next year to start the season, maybe because they'll move David Savard next year, so they want to get Gooley already on the right side. Out of all the reasons, what do you think is the number one reason why they put him on the right side?
Because they had to. And if you think back to the first game that he played there, because it wasn't right away to begin the season, it was because the Canadians were at home, they had a matchup advantage, and Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers were coming to the Bell Center, and the only way you were going to be able to match up with them was not just because the Canadians didn't have a better option on the right side of their defense. They wanted to take their two best skating defensemen and put them together. And there's no question that Matheson and Gooley are their best skating defensemen. They also believe that Gooley could do that. And I think as the season dragged on, the answer was always that because they had to put him on the right side. But it was also influenced that it's not the end of the world for them to be testing him there, knowing what's coming up with the Canadians. And it's not as if anything, you know, when you talk about comparing him becoming a more complete player with Caulfield becoming more complete, like adding this to his arsenal makes him better. It makes him more versatile. It makes him better. So did he give up some points to do it, especially playing with Matheson, who's as active as he is? Yes. Did that matter? Like, I think the major development part for Caden this year, and it's still something he's working through, is how to make faster decisions with the puck, move the puck more efficiently. Because when it comes to defending and those elements, where he's gotten to in such a short span, he already came in as a player who nobody was worried about playing those big, like, he only averaged 30 seconds more this season than he did last season. So he was already playing big minutes and against good players. But, like, I don't think there's an enormous amount more that he needs to show to prove that he can be very solid defensively. The only places where his game stands to grow now is offensively, and part of that is just learning how to make fast decisions and move the puck with the efficiency that he has. Because honestly, Tony, the one thing that I really like about Gooley, he doesn't make soft plays. Like, all of his plays are hard plays with the confidence that the players around him can execute based on what he does. If he gets faster at making those hard plays, he will be comparable to some of the guys that I'm sure we're going to speak to as this conversation evolves.
You could probably look at his stats and say, I think Caden Gooley should have scored more goals on the season than Jonathan Kovacevic and David Savard, for example, and he's tied with them with 6 goals.
Would you agree he will? Like, yes. He will.
Yes,
he's got more offense than
he'll get double. He'll get double-digit goals. There's no doubt in my mind, and as early as next season. But I think you made a pretty solid point that, A, you know, he's playing the right side of the fence. But me, more importantly, he's going up against the other team's best players. I mean, he's trying to contain the other team's best players. And when you're trying to contain the other team's best players, the thing that when you're a defenseman, your coach is going to want to see more from is you actually keeping them off the board than you trying to put yourself on the board. And so he had a much tougher task than the other Canadians defensemen to try and generate offense. It's like those who complain about Mike Matheson's plus-minus numbers. Well, he plays 26 minutes a game, and he plays against the other team's best players, right? Is he really that bad a plus-minus player? And as Jean Perron put it a couple of weeks ago, to me on La Taverne Hockey and La Poche Bleue, he said, the Canadians trailed many hockey games, lost many hockey games by a goal, and Matheson was on the ice in the final minute of the game to try and tie up the game, and the Canadians pulled a goalie a lot, and the other team scored a goal a lot. And so is Mike Matheson's stats as bad as a lot of people think they are? No?
It's like 12 goals against, I think. But you know what? If you want to harp on plus-minus, then you really don't know anything about the game. I mean, it's not saying it's an irrelevant stat, but it's certainly a flawed one. I'm going to say one thing before we take this right back to Gouley. If you've been out there, I think the biggest problem for Mike Matheson versus public perception is that there is a certain element of risk that he must take to access his best game. And Lane Hutson is the same. And I promise Canadians fans, when these two players make mistakes, they're going to be really glaring. They're going to be the type that has you go, oh my God, I can't believe he just did that. But as Mike Matheson said to me when I asked him about that, about the level of risk he must assume to access a skill set that like 5% of NHLers have, like he said, he said, you're not winning any games with everybody banging the puck off the glass. Like you won't win a single game in this league doing
it. Good one.
Like, he's right. And people better keep that in mind when they watch Lane Hutson play, because I promise you all the risks that he takes is going to add up to a lot more positive than it will negative, no matter what his plus minus is.
Second most minutes on the Montreal Canadiens for defensemen who play regularly, of course. And the reason why I clarify that is because if you take a look at the couple of games that that Lane Hutson played, Lane Hutson's average is right behind Mike Matheson. Right. So Hudson's behind Matheson, and then Mayu is actually behind Hutson as the third most. So among Montreal Canadiens regular defensemen, second most minutes go out to Caden Gouley, 4 minutes and 42 seconds less than Matheson, but 37 seconds more than Savard. Your thoughts on his ice time? It just is very early on his career.
It says everything about who this kid is, right? Like, he had 44 games. I think it's 44 games last year. 44? Let me check. I have it right here. 44 games in the NHL last year. And he averaged 20-31 versus 20-51 this year. This kid came into the league as a guy that, like, okay, it was a trial by fire because it had to be one. But, like, his game was already trustworthy enough that there was no concern about putting him on the ice that much. And you asked me before about, like, what of all the reasons you could come up with why he's on the right side. And I said, because he had to be. It's not just because they lack depth on the right side or players that were ready to step in and do what they can do moving forward. If you think of guys like Mayu and Ryan Backer. And Savard was missing for 6 or 8 weeks with a broken hand. It's because he's one of their two best defensemen. That's why. Like, that's why he played as much as he did, and that's why he ended up on the right side of the top pair, because they couldn't deny him that level of ice time. They needed it in order to be as competitive as they proved to be within the games themselves, even if the results didn't show them to be as competitive as people would like. Like, I think that's why, you know, B plus could sound like a high grade for him on the season, but everything that Caden Gouley showed is that he's going to be better. And I loved what he said at the end of it, which unfortunately he ended with a head injury, and that was the last time we spoke to him as he was watching the last game of the season instead of playing in it. He said, I need to get stronger. It's going to be the main focus for me. He said he'd like to play somewhere around 208 pounds, I think he said, 208 or 210. And maintaining that throughout a season is a challenge. Like, you can't believe what these guys burn in a single day. Like, they could eat McDonald's every day and not gain weight, like with what they do during a regular season. So it's going to be a really important summer for him to get stronger and with the edge and the grittiness that he can play with in addition to his skating game.
Yeah.
Again, like, I'm sure you have some ideas in mind, like, you look around the playoffs at some of the players that Caden Gouley could project into as he completes his development over the next 100 games or so. And I don't think we're going to be out of line with some of the players we could compare him to.
All right. Okay. So one of the things I did the other day with Pierre Maguire was I asked Pierre, I said, Pierre, I want you to tell me how the Canadiens match up to some of the teams in the playoffs right now. Where they match up, where they don't match up. So what I want to do with all the players that we're going to do report cards are is try and find a chair for them on a team that could be an eventual cup contending team. and then take a look at teams that are in the playoffs that have a possibility to go very far to see who they have in that chair right now. Make sense? Pretty good game, no?
Before we start, I just want to say, since I'm sitting here in Winnipeg, that if the Winnipeg Jets had Caden Gooley, he would be right next to Josh Morrissey, probably playing the right side, and they would be much more in this series than they have been so far. I'll say that right now.
Yeah.
He would be ahead of every other guy they have, not named Josh Morrissey.
I hear you.
And they had 52. They had 52 wins this year and finished 3 points ahead of Colorado. And by the way, won the Jennings Trophy for least goals against in the league. And Connor Hellebuck was a .921 save percentage and will win the Vezina for what he did in that part. But they were the best defensive team in hockey. And I'm telling you right now that if Caden Gooley was in this market, he'd be on their top pair next to Josh Morrissey. And that's no disrespect to Dylan DeMello, who's one of the other three guys in this series for the Jets that I think is good. And
yeah,
Brandon Dillon, who got hurt very unfortunately for them, would round out that top four with DeMello. But
yeah,
man, if they had Gooley, like a player exactly like that, they'd be much more in this series than they are right now.
Yeah, and then DeMello would drop down a slot, and then Pionk would drop down a slot, and then where's Nate Schmidt after? That's pretty weird, but that's pretty crazy. Just goes to show you, though, actually how good Caden Gooley is, and thanks for doing that. So I came up with a little bit of an exercise myself. I took some teams that are up in their series and look like they have the best chances of advancing. Took a look at a couple of defensemen on their team. It's not always the first pairing of defense. Sometimes it's kind of more who could be the shutdown guy or not. So on a cup contending team, based on your answer, you would see Caden Gooley as a first pairing shutdown guy. Is that correct?
On a cup contending team, right now and where he's at, he'd probably be the number three. Like if I look at Colorado,
yeah,
I'm not putting him ahead of Makar and Taves.
I hear you.
But he'd probably be playing next to Josh Manson instead of Samuel Girard.
I hear you. But the Canadians don't have Makar and Taves, so we don't have to worry. I get you. It's all relative, okay,
right. No, but for the exercise.
Perfect. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be hyperbolic and say Caden Gooley is ready to be the number two on any cup contending team out there right now. I will say this, if you take the number two on all the teams in the playoffs right now, I will say that Caden Gooley, when he becomes a complete product, which again, I still think is 100 to 150 games away from now.
Yeah.
He'd be up there with any one of them.
Perfect. So why don't we bring up this list of NHL duos? All right. Let me put the glasses on for this one because I'm going to need them. Rangers, who swept the Capitals, who I'm not going to say shouldn't have been in the playoffs, but what a very weak opposition they were. Okay, Lindgren and Adam Fox. Carolina, Jacob Slavin and Brent Burns.
Can we go one at a time here with these?
We will. I'm just reading them out for those who are actually going to be listening to the podcast and not watching it. We'll get to it.
People see this stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, before you read out the whole list.
Hold on a second, Eric. They see it if they're watching on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. They won't see it if they're listening on Spotify, Google, Apple, Anchor.
Let's go team by team.
Perfect.
Okay. You got Rangers. New York.
Right Ryan there, right? Lindgren and Adam Fox.
I'm not sure there's a player in the league who looks more similar to Gooley than Lindgren. Like, fast, rugged, solid puck mover, known for his defensive game. I think Gooley has more offensive upside. Lindgren might have a bit more meanness to his game. I think if you mixed Ryan Lindgren and Jacob Trouba together, you would have a very similar player to the final product of what Gooley will be. So he's not going to be as nasty as Jacob Trouba.
Yeah,
but I know that Caden Gooley views Jacob Trouba as a model for him to play like, and I think he has the ability to combine those kind of skill sets and become a very effective two-way guy. So, and I'm not saying he's ahead of Lindgren right now. Lindgren's right where he belongs, but I think when Gooley becomes the complete version of himself, he'll be a slightly more impactful player than Lindgren is.
So if
and I love Lindgren.
Let's just say Lindgren wasn't on the Rangers and Gooley was.
He would slot in really well in his place. He'd be like the ideal replacement.
Yeah, so you think he'd supplant Kerandre Miller, who's the second left-handed defenseman, with Braden Schneider on the right side?
Different. Well, Trouba, no?
Trouba's playing with Eric Gustafson right now, if I'm not mistaken. So I could be wrong.
I mean, that's probably more for balance than anything. I'd have to look at the ice times in their series.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, Kerandre Miller's a very different player than Gouley, despite the skating being really the best element for both players.
I think you hit the nail on the head, but Eric Gustafson's a more of an offensive defenseman, and Jacob Trouba is a very defenseman, and yeah, it could be a lot for balance, of course. Okay, so Caden Gouley, if you see him as a first-pairing defenseman on a cup-contending team, you take a look at what the Rangers have right now, you believe that he could be playing alongside Adam Fox, because he's a very similar player to Ryan Lindgren, and add the physicality of a Jacob Trouba. Awesome. Let's go to Carolina. Jacob Slavin and Brent Burns.
I don't know if Jacob Slavin is the number one guy that Caden Gouley should be modeling his game after. I don't know if he's the number one guy that he is modeling his game after, I should say, but he's the number one guy he should be modeling his game after. Like, if he can become that player, and I think that is almost exactly what he projects to be. If once he's complete, he's going to have a hell of a career. Like, he doesn't supplant him right now. That would be impossible, just given Slavin's experience, his ability to play against the best players night after night and shut them down, also while staying out of the penalty box. Like, he's a Lady Bing. I know that has a negative stigma in certain circles. It's not because he's not a mean player, but when you consider that this guy plays 25 minutes a game and takes like no penalties, and he's playing against the best players all the time, he's a remarkable player. Can we keep calling him the most underrated player in the league? Like, at this point, people should know. Like,
yeah, he could supplant Brent Burns, though. Different player, I get it.
Yeah, but it's I get it, but I can't. I wouldn't look at that. Like, it's because he's supposed to be exactly like Slavin when all is said and done, when this process is over, and a better skater, probably. Yeah.
Vegas, Noah Hanifin and Alex Pietrangelo. That's quite a pairing. Very complimentary.
He's not taking over either of those guys, but playing right underneath them would make them, like, I mean, I guess Shea Theodore is right underneath them, but if you put Gouley on the right side of Shea Theodore, I think that's probably better than Zach Whitecloud.
Yeah. Gustav Forsling and Eric Ekblad of the Florida Panthers.
Man, when all is said and done, I think the guy he'd take off that pair would be Ekblad. Forsling, if we talk about Slavin before, is underrated, is unbelievable.
Like, he's a lot better than I thought.
What a player this guy is. He is unreal. And Ekblad certainly had that potential, and unfortunately for him, has had a lot of injuries, and you hope that Gouley, with the injuries that he's had, doesn't follow that path. But I think, given the injuries that Ekblad has had and the way it's kind of gone for him, and he's still a really good player, I think Gouley has the potential to be not necessarily better, but more reliable night after night. Keep bringing up this caveat, it has to be based on like what he's going to be 150 games from now. 300 games under his belt, complete kind of player at 24 years old.
Yeah, like, and the injuries you talked about to Ekblad, by the way, have been concussions for the most part.
Yeah.
The Sick Podcast is brought to you in part by Accent Insurance Solutions. All insurance isn't created equal. You know that by now. You know where to find the right solution for you. Accent Insurance. Accent doesn't just sell insurance. They shop insurance for you to find the right product right on the money, whatever your insurance needs, home, automobile, or business. Call the Accent team at 514-363-3636. If you take a look at the Boston Bruins first pairing, I believe it's Lowry with McAvoy. But if you take a look at their second pairing, those are the ones who are drawing all the assignments in terms of trying to shut down Boston's best player, Toronto's best players, notably Austin Matthews. Hampus Lindholm and Brandon Carlo are the defense pairing. Where do you see Gouley there?
He's not as good yet as Hampus Lindholm, but he will be a very similar player. he may not be as good as Brandon Carlo was at his very best, but he's better than him right now.
Yeah, I think he's tougher than Lindholm.
Lindholm is a very efficient player. And yeah. I would argue that after McAvoy, their most efficient defenseman, and he does it all. So I think Caden Gooley will be a very similar player to Hampus Lindholm. Maybe better skater. It's hard to say. I'd love to hear some scouts on that. Carlo, at one point before the injuries, at his very top end, was very promising. His game has dropped off over the last couple of years because he's had devastating injuries. And if you put Caden Gooley on the Bruins right now, I think he would be playing above Carlo.
One of the worst moves the New York Islanders ever made was trading Devon Taves, and he plays on a first pairing with Cale Makar of the Colorado Avalanche. You've had to see them a ton. You've got to see them a ton because, of course, they're playing in that series, Colorado versus Winnipeg. What can you tell us about Devon Taves? I think we know everything we need to know about Cale Makar already. He's arguably the best defenseman in the league the last 3 years, and not too many players in the history of the National Hockey League on defense have had his talent. But what can you tell us about Devon Taves?
I mean, I think what's interesting as we get to this portion of the conversation, like, we've gone through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams, and each one of them has a similar player to, like, Gooley.
Yeah.
And Taves is that. Like, his skating is elite. His compete level is elite. His physicality is underrated. He's got edge. He's a leader. If I say that Caden Gooley's having the right projection of his career, if he ends up like Jacob Slavin or Gustav Forsling or Hampus Lindholm, I'd say the same of Devon Taves. Like, Devon Taves, excuse me. Like, I think he even has potential to be a more complete and consistent version of that player. But I can't take anything away from him. And you could talk about how much Makar elevates Taves, and that's totally legitimate. But he's got to be good enough to play with him, right? Like, so
yeah.
I think Gooley, again, if you put Gooley next to Josh Manson on their second pair, he's ahead. And Sam Girard is a good player, man. He's ahead of him every day already at 22 years old. And 140 games, 110 games in, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a major compliment, especially considering that this Colorado team looks like as good of a bet as any to win the cup right now.
I think it was Tyson Barry that was traded by Edmonton to acquire Mattias Ekholm, if memory serves me well. You know, when they made the trade, because I still recall images of Ken Holland on social media giving Tyson Barry a call and saying, we've acquired Mattias Ekholm. We really need a shutdown defenseman right now. Well, they got him because they paired him with Evan Bouchard. So he's really a stay-at-home defenseman, like an Edmondson or a Sherratt was for the Canadiens, or when they went to the Stanley Cup final several years ago. I can't believe how good Evan Bouchard is, though. I got to tell you, like, offensively speaking, he's amazing. He's really good. Better than I thought.
Yeah, he's Mike Matheson playing with players who are of the same skill set all around him at all times. He got on my Norris ballot. That's how good his season was.
Yeah.
Is he fallible at times? Yes. Do the risks that he takes on a regular basis not only mitigate, but far outweigh whatever the downside is? Yes. He's a great player. Not comparable for Gooley. He'd look really good with a Gooley next to him. Mattias Ekholm in his prime is just a warrior. Like, and he's still a warrior. He's not as effective as he once was, but he's still good enough to be exactly where he is in their lineup. And if Gooley can be as tough as Ekholm has been throughout his career, that'll be a really good element. I think if Gooley was on their team and they were able to move Ekholm down to their second pair, they would have that much more of a legitimate claim to being a Stanley Cup contender. And we all know they're a contender. But I mean, like, you look at them and be like, Gouley pushes Ekholm down, they win the cup.
Look, once again, I could have gone through a bunch of teams, but I chose to pick eight who are probably in the driver's seat. Quinn Hughes and Philip Roenick of Vancouver.
He's taken Roenick's job for sure for me. That's right now. And I'm not taking anything away from Roenick, because you think about how good of a player Quinn Hughes is showing he is. Like, Roenick can still produce a lot of offense himself. His shot is ridiculously good, and he proved in Detroit that he can play on the other side of the puck too. But if I had to pair someone with Quinn Hughes and know that I was going to get an even better advantage out of it, I think Gouley would be better for it, even though Roenick is a natural righty. So,
all right, so how do we get to the B plus?
Well, how we got there is exactly, you know, we have to take into account that his offense wasn't quite as high as it could be based on what his potential is. Again, 4 points in 26 games more than he played a year ago, right?
Yeah, so you dropped from an A at that point. You dropped down a notch.
Yeah. I dropped down from an A minus at that point, because it's not all gravy. He did have some pockets of play where he didn't move the puck as efficiently as he could, and there was some learning. There was some learning that had to be done, like there would be for any player, let alone one playing 21 minutes a game against the best players in the world. Like, you got to figure out how quickly you need to do things and not hesitate to do it. And that's a part of the game that I think really developed for Caden. You balance all that out, those tough stretches, the offense with his role, with what he was able to do from the right side, and with what he shows his potential to be. And it's a B plus for me, and maybe it's a little bit of a favorable ranking that's influenced by how much I believe in a player's potential.
Awesome. I'm going to drop him half a mark down. Because I think there's an opportunity there for him to work on the ability to protect himself, which I think he got tagged a couple of times with his head down this year.
He knows it.
It's a fast league. He definitely does know it. It happened to Juraj Slafkovský 1 year ago. There's things that he did in the offseason which helped him very much in that respect to get ready for this season. But I don't think we're far off. You got him as a B+. I got him as a B. I think they're both fantastic grades. Obviously, for a team that finished with the fifth worst record in hockey, he obviously did his part and then some. Eric, this has been a lot of fun. The shows are abbreviated in the Montreal Canadiens offseason. I very much appreciate you taking the time. I know today was a travel day for you from Colorado to Winnipeg. We'll be in touch. Thanks so much for doing this. We'll talk soon, my man.
It's a pleasure. Take care.
Thank you very much. Eric Engels of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Marinaro, special thanks to Energy Transportation Group for their partnership and their sponsorship, as well as Playground, as well as La Bita TV, and as well as Accent Insurance Solutions. Thank you very much to you, my sick army, and to you, my sick community. I also thank you very much. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. It's absolutely free. If you like the podcast tonight, like it, share it with your friends, comment sick, S-I-C-K. Even better, leave us a 5-star review on Apple. That's our way of feeling the love. And so thanks so much. Friend Yellow and Sammy at Master Control, they're Cavallaro. Have a great night. I'm Marinaro.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.